So what would you take with you? When my mother-in-law got the call that she should leave her home in New Orleans in the face of the approaching storm called Katrina, I imagine she paused about what she should take with her. Now, Blanche was not a rich woman, at least not in the traditional sense of the word. She had essentially raised her three daughters alone. Her husband had left after the birth of each of her daughters, but then would return until the next daughter was born. He finally left for good after the third child arrived. Blanche worked as a secretary at a Catholic girls' school to provide for her three daughters. With the good Catholic education, a place to live and food to eat. And so, with her girls grown, what would she take with her? As Katrina approached, she packed two changes of clothes, her medication for a chronically ill heart, and her insurance card, and some cash. She left New Orleans, not knowing that she would never see her home again. Granted, she probably thought that she and the one daughter who lived with her would return to New Orleans in several days after the storm had passed, as they had always done over the years during hurricane season. Little did she or anyone else know that Katrina would produce flooding that might make Noah blush. In parts of the city, water rose so quickly that people who decided to stay in their homes were trapped in their attics or on their rooftops. Now, I'm sure that most of you saw those scenes on television. Blanche's home was inundated with 13 feet of water for almost 3 weeks. The water, which contained gasoline and other chemicals which leaked from various sources, transformed Blanche's home in some interesting ways. The walls and ceilings were covered with mold that had grown inches thick. Furniture was dissolved into mounds of mush. Memories of the past in the form of mementos and photographs were destroyed. Everything was not as it should be. Now, I'm sure that if Blanche was in that crowd that day with Jesus and the rich farmer, she might have asked anyone who would listen, "So what would you take with you?" Now, you need to know that Blanche was not shy about sharing what she thought. I often told Jane, Blanche's first daughter and my wife, that her mother had absolutely no filter between her mind and her mouth. Whatever Blanche thought generally just came right on out. When I was being ordained, Blanche, who loved to sew, had made me a lovely white alb with all sorts of beautiful lace that the altar guild at her Catholic church was throwing out. When then Bishop of Chicago and presiding bishop-to-be Frank Griswold passed by to greet us before the service, he looked me up and down and said he had never seen so much lace in one place. To which Blanche, all 4'10" of her, quickly replied that if the Episcopal Church had more lace, they would not be such a small denomination. The bishop smiled and moved on. So I firmly believe that Blanche would not have been shy in asking the rich farmer, "So what would you take with you?" Now, the farmer might have just smiled and moved on. I mean, why respond to such a foolish question from such a foolish old woman? Now, lest you think I do not respect Blanche by using the word foolish to refer to her, let me share a brief story by Noah Ben Shea. Once there was a fool who set out for the king's palace. Along the way, people pointed and jeered at the fool. "Why should a man like you be going to see the king?" they laughed. "Well, I'm going to be the king's teacher," answered the fool with great assurance. But his conviction only brought ever greater laughter from the people along the path. Now, when the fool arrived at the palace, the king thought he would make short work and great jest of this man. So the king had the fool immediately brought to the royal court. "Why do you dare to disturb the king?" demanded his majesty. "I came to be the royal teacher," said the fool, in a very matter-of-fact way. The king twisted with laughter. "How can you, a fool, teach me?" "Well, you see," said the fool, "already you ask me questions." The court froze in silence. The king gathered himself and stared at his ridiculous opponent. "You have offered me a clever response, but you have not answered my questions." "Only a fool has all the answers," came the reply, balanced on a sly smile. But now the king was sputtering. "But what would others say if they knew the king had a fool for a teacher? Better to have a fool for a teacher than a fool for a king," said the man. When he heard this, the king, who was not a hard man, confessed, "Now I do feel like a fool." "No," said the man across from him, "it's only a fool who has never felt like one." Now, I really never had the courage to ask Blanche if she had ever felt like a fool. But I'm sure that her question would have penetrated the heart of the rich farmer at some point. And I imagine that he paused for a moment and thought about that foolish question from that foolish old woman. What would he take with him? What if he received a call that he should leave his home in the face of the approaching storm? Would he have packed as much grain and belongings as he could possibly carry and get out of town? Would he have stayed in the loft of his barn as the water rose to protect everything he had from looters? Would he have wept as the water covered the grain and all his possessions, seeing all his riches destroyed? As this story of the foolish farmer is a parable, we are not provided with the answer. We do not know what he finally decided, for you see, the purpose of the story is not to understand the farmer. Rather, it is to better understand ourselves. You see, this very night, your life is being demanded of you. While the foolish farmer's answer would have little reference for each of us, Blanche's question does. "So, what would you take with you?" Blanche asks. Your answer has nothing to do with a change of clothes or medication, with insurance cards, or with money. Although in our present society, all of these things do have some value. What Jesus is asking in this parable and what Blanche is asking in her question is, what are your treasures and where are they? Now, any fool could figure out that Jesus is asking all of us to understand that the treasures we lay up in this life cannot be found in barns or bank accounts or garages. For Blanche, her treasures were her faith and her family. And so you might say that she died a very rich woman, but perhaps not in the traditional sense of the word. You see, she died far from home, comforted by her faith and surrounded by her girls, which included her three daughters, her daughters' husbands, her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So what would you take with you? While you might need time to figure that out, remember, this very night, your life is being demanded of you. Amen.